Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
All of my kids have reported at times avoiding certain bathrooms.
Just because there's vapors in there?
Yes, and they like basically hijack the bathroom. And one of my kids say, I just want to wash my hands before lunch. And I get all these dirty looks from the vapors like, I don't belong in here. How dare you come in?
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vitrano.
Just about 8:13 on Wisconsin's Morning News, Friday the 13th. Haven't discussed that at all. Get all superstitious over that?
Meh.
Meh. Friday the 13th, nonetheless. Eric
Ask
Bilstad.
The ERs. Ask all the nurses and doctors at the ERs if they have any issues.
That's a thing, right? They say things get weird. They just do.
Full moons, yes. And everything. All right, anyway.
Eric Bilstad, Vince Vitrano here with you, taking you up till 9 o'clock. Greg Pancake Hill produces the program. Debbie will watch the cars. And Tiff Pua is helping out in the newsroom this morning. Also, we'll point you to our podcast. You can text Vince to 855-616-1620. At any point, Greg Pancake Hill produces various things and posts them in real time up there. You can also check us out on our YouTube channel if you want to watch the radio. Interested in this story out of Green Bay. A couple of school things we can talk about today, but this caught my ear because Green Bay Preble High School has just undergone a major renovation. I think they had a massive school referendum, so they rebuilt a lot of things, and they're easing back into the school year as everybody else is. And there's a concern about how they've redone the bathrooms in the school. And this is a report from NBC 26 News in Green Bay. Now, let me play you this. This is a parent who's concerned about how they've reconfigured things.
We went to go check them out, and the exterior walls are all windows. You could see the inside. You could see the doors to the bathroom stalls. You could see pretty much everything inside.
Hey, that's a parent talking with NBC 26 News. Preble, one of several high schools in Green Bay. I used to work up there. I can't remember the last time I was in Preble, but it was an old school that's been retrofitted over the years and changed and upgraded. But looking at some of the video from NBC 26, her description is pretty accurate. You can't see people doing their business, if you will, but there are huge windows that show into the bathroom. So I suppose you can see who would go into the stalls, and they are big, like floor to ceiling doors on every stall.
Yeah, it's when you say stall, it's not like, you know, a big blue door where there's several of them next to each other, like the stall that you think of. They are separate actual doors with handles that go into a separate room with a toilet.
And then there's another huge, bank of windows that are right by the sink. So when you come out and go to wash your hands, you're looking out on the hallway.
Yeah.
And more importantly, the hallway is looking in on you.
Right.
It was a $183 million referendum over the fall. $33 million went towards security and privacy, including adding windows to more of those school bathrooms.
Sounds like transparency.
Not just there, but across the district. So why did they do it? I think it's interesting. The school wanted, they said they don't want kids hanging out in the bathroom. And you have high school age kids. Do they report to you the same thing mine do?
Yeah, the shenanigans that sometimes take place in a bathroom.
Right. And now it's harder to detect because in our day, you always knew when someone was smoking in the bathroom.
Right. Yep.
In our day. But now with vaping, you can't always tell. So students have gotten so much braver with their willingness to vape in school. All of my kids have reported at times avoiding certain bathrooms.
Just because there's vapors in there?
Yes. And they like basically hijack the bathroom. And one of my kids say, I just want to wash my hands before lunch. And I get all these dirty looks from the vapors like, I don't belong in here. How dare you come in my area?
We're enjoying some strawberry flavored vape right now.
They're like running it like drug lords. It's our territory.
Right? Oh, yeah. And that, so a window into the sink area would definitely prevent that, right?
Right. So, I mean, I guess you would have to go into that individual stall. And as we indicated, the video doesn't seem to suggest that you can see inside there. You can certainly see who's coming in and out.
But you can't see, like, even feet at the bottom of a stall because it's a full floor to, you know, it's a door. It's like a closet door.
What it also prevents is if you're just in there hanging at least somebody outside can see in and know who's in there and who's been in there for too long.
What's the rule on hanging out in the bathroom? Like, if you're not...
Don't you have somewhere to be, right?
Well, but if you don't, like, are you allowed to just...
Just sit in there?
Okay.
I understand, too. I mean, like, nobody likes to be seen doing their business. Or if you're maybe having a bad day, you don't want to be seen... Hey, what are you doing in the bathroom so long?
Man, again,
my stomach hurts, yeah, okay? Right. I got to... So I totally understand those sensitivities. I don't know, though. I'm kind of with the school on this one. It makes it easier to police. Go in there, do what you need to do, and come on out. We're not going to have people hanging out in here. We're not going to have people doing their vapes and doing other things. We're not going to have people intimidating other people who can't come in here and just use the facility for what it's there for.
Well, what about,
and if this helps them do that, I'm for it.
Is there... When you're looking at the mirror and, you know... Primping or fixing your hair or checking makeup or taking care of a blemish. Like, is that, I mean, okay. You got to do that now with a giant window there. Not to suggest that I doubt anyone. Well, I shouldn't say, I have no idea. Like, are people just standing at the window looking in? Like, is that really what people are doing these days?
Some
like,
kids just staring in there.
There's John in there. Like, yep. Is that happening? I doubt it. But I mean, yeah, there's no private moment there for you to like, even like check your shirt.
Okay. I'll grant you it would make me uncomfortable. Like we all go to the school, right? So you're there for a basketball game or whatever. And you're going to walk in like, are there parents watching you?
Ew,
there goes Mr. Bilstead again. must be struggling today.
Why does it always have to be a negative thing?
It has to be you too. Right? Yeah. Well, he's really
hit
the booster dogs hard tonight. I don't know. It must not be sitting well
with
him.
Bilstead.
Never should have done the chili dog.
No, it's with your dad.
Okay, so I don't like it any more than the kids do. But sorry, this is sort of what they forced the school into. It's kind of the same thing with the phones. You just had conferences. We had conferences last night at school.
Yep,
the phones are a thing.
Yeah, so this week, especially because you can go in and meet your teachers and your kids' teachers, and phones came up again because in my district, a new requirement this year, it's mandatory, phones have to be in the caddies. And that's basically, it's like numbered 1 through 30, all these little pouches that hang in the front of the classroom, and you just put your phone in each number. I don't know if they're assigned or not, and you put your phone in there, and that's where they have to be during class. And it's... caused such an uproar at my kid's school that there are petitions being circulated.
Who's
now.
Mad? The kids are mad?
Kids are mad. And some parents, too, are frustrated.
That's interesting to me. What are they mad about?
I don't know. Part of me, and this is me being skeptical, part of me wonders if they're just getting pressure from kid. Mm. Kid saying, Ma, I need my phone for this reason or that reason. And the mom is saying, well, you know, my little Johnny needs his phone. I don't know if that's what it is or not, but there's... an expectation of being able to communicate with your kid whenever. There's the fear of something terrible happening at the school and being able to connect with your loved ones. In Maguanago, they also have a petition. Theirs is a little bit stricter about no phones. And that's different than what's happening here in my kid's district where it's just a caddy mandatory thing.
So what's the deal? Like no phones at all? Like they can't bring them to class?
Yeah.
Can't walk around in the...
And like turning them off type of thing?
Yeah, that's a different deal than... And I think that's what is largely taking place in Greendale where my kids go because I saw a number of those things. What do you call them? Caddies? The little pouches on the wall? Right.
Yep.
I talked to one of the teachers, one of the kids' teachers, and I'm like, so this is what with the cell phones? And she described it as they didn't get so much a mandate from the school, but all of the teachers have been encouraged to try to reach some level of consistency. They can do it in their own way, but they are trying to prevent kids from having phones at their desks in class. So each teacher is kind of doing it their way.
Right.
But I like that for teachers and staff. You don't want to have, you know, Mr. Johnson, he never lets us have our phones.
And then,
Miss Jackson always says we can have our phones. It's cool. So it makes it hard for them.
I assume there's always going to be pushback. I think we can all agree, though, in some fashion, especially with a young developing brain, that the amount of time children are spending on phones is not good for them. Like, it's not good.
Can I get you for 45 minutes or 50 minutes to pay attention
and
to me,
clearly,
to this class, to your classmates?
There's clearly an addiction. And if anyone says there's not, I'm not sure what they're reading, because there's clearly an addiction right now. And it's not just the kids. I mean, adults are having the same issue. So schools are trying to figure out some way to help break that cycle, that dopamine fix that everyone needs to have, that feeling good all the time staring at these phones. And by the way, you're still seeing it in the hallways between breaks. You're still seeing kids all like, oh, ah, that sweet nectar of the phone screen on my eyes.
That's interesting that you use the word addiction. I'm starting to recognize that more in my behavior as well, because we can all say we'd like to unplug more. And I say that. I say that to you right now. I would like to unplug more, but I find myself not being able to.
Yeah.
Right? Or in a conversation with someone that you're actually interested in, but something buzzes, something dings.
You gotta look,
and,
right?
And that gets your attention immediately. And we can say and say and say, like, well, just don't pay attention. It takes
it's
you
tough.
There.
It's really tough. Once you hear it buzzing, you're like, oh, shoot. Okay.
So sometimes we need rules to save us from ourselves. It seems like that's what we're doing in both cases here in the schools. 8:22 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Couple updates to a story that we first told you about Thursday here on Wisconsin's Morning News. One of the six UW-Madison students who were sent running from their off-campus house early Wednesday morning.
I woke up to my roommates like yelling, get out, there's a fire. So then we all ran out the door. And it was a hard thing to process like as I was waking up. But when we got outside, we kind of realized the severity of the situation.
And that's Carly Lehman. We talked with her here on Wisconsin's Morning News. She and three of her roommates are from our area, three from Franklin, another one is from Muskego. All of these six ladies did get out safely, but they lost almost all their stuff.
All the bedrooms are in the same state due to the smoke damage to all of our things. We weren't able to take much from the house.
So here are the couple updates this morning. I just heard from Carly's dad. I'll tell you what he is telling me in a moment. First, police do have a person of interest in custody. This is the guy whose picture they were circulating. Madison police asked media outlets, says they often do, you know, like, here's a person we're looking for.
Yeah. Anyone recognize him?
Hope for some tips from the public. They say they got that and it helped them track this person down, accused of starting two dumpster fires nearby, as well as setting fire to this home where the young ladies were staying. No formal charges as of yet, but at least it sounds like police think they got their guy.
Great.
On top of that, we told you about this, that the ladies had set up a GoFundMe page, something they did on their own. They're like, we got to get on our feet here. And they were trying to raise money to help them replace all their stuff. And what they could recover from the home is smoke damaged, and they have to see if they can clean it. So the update this morning is the GoFundMe effort is north of $20,000.
Wow, that's awesome.
And I know that's from some people who listen to our show, because see if you go on there, the timeline of some donations coinciding when we talked about the story.
Never ceases to amaze you, the amount of people that are willing to help and donate. It's
so incredible. I want to thank all of you for taking this story to heart and helping those young Badgers. Additionally, though, if you're like, wow, $20,000, it must be sitting good. Carly's dad just told me they're looking at least $2,000 each just to have their clothes cleaned. And they're still not even sure if that will really do it.
Right.
So you're looking at, you know, times six, you're looking at $12,000 just to clean up, maybe $12,000, $13,000 to clean up their clothes, and maybe they'll be okay. Plus all the stuff that they lost, all their furniture, all their belongings, things like that. So it's in the neighborhood of where that fundraising effort needs to be for them to be made whole. So good on you for helping and listening and contributing to those young Badgers. And they are in good spirits. I guess they did find a place to live also. They really struggled that first day because think about it. It's Madison. Everything's rented out.
Where are you gonna go?
Right? School year's set. Nobody's moving around this time or vacating. So they found a couple of apartments, I guess, where all six can be close together because they're all really good friends and they wanted to stay together, and they found a place to stay for the coming school year. The other good thing is they are looking ahead to the football game Saturday. You going to the Alabama game on Saturday, though? I mean, can you put this behind
you? Of course. I'm not sure what I'll wear yet because I don't have my clothes, but I'll be there.
So that's awesome.
I got to enjoy the time when
that's
you're there,
right? Yeah, Alabama comes to town regardless of what's going on. So really good update to that story, and appreciate everybody who's been willing to step up and help those ladies. 8:30 on Wisconsin's Morning News. On Wisconsin's Morning News, 20 minutes before 9 o'clock on this Friday the 13th.
Television's biggest night. It's Sunday, the Emmys, and what can we expect? Well, a lot of look-backs.
This year marks some big anniversaries for some big shows. Happy Days turns 50, The West Wing 25, and Sunday Night's Emmys leaning into that, much like they did with some reunions at the last Emmys, which was actually earlier this year because of last year's strikes.
You might see your favorite TV moms or TV villains all come together to just celebrate the genre.
That's Emmys executive producer Dion Harmon. The Emmys air live Sunday night on ABC, hosted by father and son Dan and Eugene Levy. Jason Nathanson, ABC News. Hollywood.
See, that's the part I'm looking forward to the most, just seeing the Levies together on stage doing
they're going to be hilarious.
Thing. Oh, they'll be great. As far as your favorite TV moms, favorite dads, how do you go about even selecting those? Apparently, executive producers were talking about it, saying, yeah, that was kind of a struggle.
It was a big conversation. I mean, we have, you know, healthy conversations about, like, who should be those moms. Who should be those TV dads? Who are the right villains?
Right? I mean, because not everyone deserves, or you don't have time for everybody. So who makes the short list?
Great TV villains could include what? I mean, if you go back to Batman, you can get all those
Joker,
clowns, right?
Maybe.
Literally
okay.
clowns,
yeah.
Joker, and all them. But I think they're more like villains of like from dramas, right?
Sure.
Like terrible people.
Yeah. But who would be favorite dads? I mean, you can, there's a million.
Let me see. Mr. Keaton.
That's right? The first one you Alex. Went with.
Oh, he was a good dad, right?
You don't even know his name. He's the first dad you picked out of a hat.
Of TV dads? I don't know what's wrong
of
with
iconic,
him.
I'm not
Alex P. Keaton's dad?
What's his first name?
I can't remember. Him and her, and she was real nice, too.
I mean, you could have said Bill Cosby, at least. Like that's. I mean, all I know right. There's been some issues with Cosby.
Oh, okay. You want to hang your hat on that one? Good. I said Alex P. Keaton's dad. Eric wants to go with Dr. Cosby.
I'm a dumpy. Okay. We'll go with, like, the Modern Family dad. He's funny.
All right.
That's
sure.
Iconic, right? A little bit this century, sure. At least.
TV moms, June Cleaver.
Yeah, well.
The ultimate.
I'm sure that one will make the list.
Right. She's pretty good. I don't know. I can't. It's been so long, right, since you watched all those sitcoms, but that was a huge part of childhood.
So they're intending on looking back at some of that, especially Happy Days, it sounds
but see,
like.
Look at what it did. Like, I haven't watched the Emmys in a billion years.
But now you,
but that,
now you
like,
have interest.
Nostalgia that, like, speak to me back when we were watching TV and everybody was into this show or that.
Oh, right? That Gen X thing.
Okay, see?
There's something there.
They're reaching out to us. Mm. They need us. They want us back watching regular old TV. 8:43 on Wisconsin's Morning News. 8:47 on this Friday morning. Each day after the program, we head up, talk about what's coming up on the next day's show. We even plan out the week, and some things make it into the program, some things don't. So we ask producer of Wisconsin's Morning News, Greg Pancake Hill, to whip up a little something with the leftovers in an event we call the Pancake Breakfast Special.
What about breakfast?
We've already had it.
We've had one, yes. What about second breakfast?
All right, I'm going to open up with, I am not a doctor. So take that into consideration as this segment progresses. All have right. You guys ever heard of a diadem?
Yes.
You do know what a diadem is?
Yes.
What is a diadem? Please explain.
It is like, it's like a tiara. It's like a little crown.
That's a good way to describe it. So yeah. The way I have is a device that you put around your head, kind of like, you know, in X-Men, Professor X style. You know, I put that thing on his head, and he can, like, read people's minds and see the future and all that good stuff.
So it has functionality.
Yes,
it
has
functionality.
It's also
one of Harry Potter's Horcruxes.
Yes, correct. So, if I were to describe what it looks like, have you ever been to the eye doctor? You put your chin on that little piece of rubber, and then that thing surrounds you, right? And you look into the light, and it's the way to see the back of the eye. Mm-hmm. So that's what it looks like, but it's turned on its head, and you kind of lay down, and you kind of sit in between it. So what it does is actually pretty cool. It sends sound waves to your brain, and it actually helps with things like depression, chronic pain, and has proven health benefits. Actually, this study in the University of Utah, they published an article that cites improvements in patients in a clinical trial after just one 40-minute session, saying these patients are more clear, more present, and less burdened. So I was intrigued, and I was like, you know what I gotta do is I gotta get me one of these. So I did. I
what?
Found
no,
one.
You did
I
not.
Found a diadem, and I've actually engineered it, and I can program it through my board right here. So you're going to be able to hear what the diadem sounds like. So here, I'll plug it in. All right, and remember, I'm no doctor with this device, but this might improve your mood, might lower your stress, and it might make you more present. So now that I got it booted up, here it is. This is the Wisconsin's Morning News Diadem.
WTMJ's Eric Bill said here, have you ever gotten in a fight?
I was like, really? A water buffalo?
And I remember I hit a ball off my leg, and Dave Yeager, who's a trainer in the big leagues now, he was my trainer in Double A. He came running out there, and he's like, you all right? And I was like, just cut my leg off.
Vice President and our next president.
Stay on target.
We're too close.
Stay on target.
Oh, my God.
I'm a lucky guy. That's all I'll say.
Right?
Why would I looking at a truck make me not drive recklessly? If you could connect those dots, I will eat the truck.
Absolutely boat race.
And this guy that rented us a pontoon boat in Rhinelander looked dead ringer.
Did you tell him?
No, I didn't. But then I posted, I'm like, hey, it was really cool. Can you believe it? Northwoods of Wisconsin, David Draymond.
He's renting
out boats. And he rented me a pontoon boat. And people commented on the thing like, that's so cool.
You like brunch?
Cerveza Cristal. Cerveza Cristal.
Are you sure there's nothing else you would like to say to me? I didn't get it. Because that's the Quick Trip, you know, catchphrase, right? It'd be like seeing Gruber, and he says, like, hey, give me a call sometime. It's WTMJ's Vince Vitrano here. I played sports my entire...
What's wrong?
Man, keep killing me, Eric.
Now... Don't you just feel better?
I don't think I do.
No? Okay.
This is a terrible show.
Well, the good thing the good thing about the diadem is it's in phase two, and there will be phases unleashed later. So what we can, you know, take into consideration is maybe you do feel better. I hope so. And if you need any more post-treatment, you know where you can go is the WTMJ Wisconsin's Morning News podcast page. And just calmly text Vince to the WTMJ talking text line, 855-616-1620. I was very happy that I got a diadem that I could share with you all today.
I actually thought you did. Like, and for a second,
I'm sorry.
Like,
did you not just hear the last like 3 minutes?
I was like, I could actually use that. If it's working.
I can specially curate one for you every week if you'd like.
Rick, can I go to Spencer's Gifts and get you a mug that says number one stepdad on it, and then on the back of it it says Rick?
How about that?
I don't know, Deb. I hope nobody in charge here.
I have
that.
No response to that.
This is what you do with your news show, then.
Yeah.
Sometimes the news is funny.
Yep. Sometimes you got to do it. All right. Westbound on 94. We got backups from 25th Street all the way to about Mitchell Boulevard. Westbound 894 finally got rid of that broken down vehicle just west of Loomis. But the delays are still there. Pretty hefty ones, too, heading through the Mitchell Interchange all the way to about 58th Street. We've got a couple of other broken down vehicles along 41. One near Mayfair Road, another one right out of the zoo. Both of these are actually out of traffic, so you're not seeing too many issues with that. So far, we are actually looking really good. I'm Debbie Lazaga with your WTMJ Johnson & Sons Paving Time Saver Traffic.
We got it. We can be done.
WTMJ, W277-CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma Brand station.
WTMJ forecast is sponsored by Dave Dre Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. 79 degrees, your high temp today. Nice night for high school football tonight. Low down to 66 for the weekend. High temperatures in the low 80s both Saturday and Sunday. Saturday evening, chance for an isolated shower. And Sunday, slight chance for some showers in the morning, otherwise partly cloudy.
Could definitely use the rain. Don't want it to rain out any plans on Sunday, but definitely need it. It is dry.
Did you get the impression it is going to be even much of a rain out, if anything?
Copeland was texting me last night, WTMJ meteorologist, and he's like, actually, for Sunday, looking like less and less of a chance of anything.
Come on.
We did find out today from the Milwaukee Brewers that it looks like there'll be an announcement next week on postseason tickets. Not to all put the cart before the horse. Everybody wants to be careful about that. But the magic number is now 7.
Magic number, Greg?
7.
Thank you.
So it could get much closer to that over the weekend. I guess if the Cubs were to continue losing and we were to continue winning, then we would end up in a situation where you could clinch a spot early next week.
Yeah, they could clinch getting into the postseason, but clinching for the NL Central would take a few more games, maybe.
So that'll be news we'll be on top of for you next week. WTMJ's Political Power Hour with Steve Scafidi is up next.
It's Miller time.
Yeah.